Welcome everyone to another edition of Radio Otherwhere, coming to you live once again this week and broadcasting to you from a wintry Melbourne, although it's quite nice and not too overcast outside, via the World Wide Web and bbsradio.com, which is based in California, just in case you were wondering. And good evening if you are in the States, good afternoon if you're in Australia, Asia or New Zealand, and a very, very good morning to all of you who are listening in the UK or Europe, where it's more likely that you're hearing me because you've been up all night instead of waking up for it. But if you have woken up for this, I'd love it if you would send me an email and let me know where you're at. And you can do that by emailing me at otherwarehost@yahoo.com. And my name is Liz Miller. If you haven't tuned in before, this show is called Otherware, and that basically stands for anything that activates, enhances or evolves your inner spiritual technologies. And we are going to get into a wonderful subject this evening on the show. We've got Jean Manning coming on just about 10 minutes or so to talk to us about the zero point energy or quantum field. It's an amazing subject, and it ties in very closely to what we talk about here on Otherware, and I've been looking forward to this interview for quite some time. So I really hope that you stay tuned, as it's going to be a very scintillating edition of Otherware this week. And it's been a very, very busy week at Otherware HQ. Last week I gave you a quick update on one of my cats, and her name is Miss Eartha Kitten. And she was diagnosed with cancer of the jaw about 10 days ago, and when we found out, she was pretty close to death. It was a pretty huge shock, as I wasn't expecting it. It really just came out of the blue. When I took her to the vet, they advised me that I should have her put down. Now, I'm very happy to report that my very special friend and lifelong companion, she's been with me for 14 years, is now doing very, very well, despite what the vets told me, as I've been treating her myself with basically everything I have in my store of tricks. And I've been using a really wonderful book that I've recommended to you all. If you go and have a look at the show info page, which you can find at bbsradio.com, just scroll down to the Saturday schedule, and next to Otherware you'll see a little button that says show info. If you go there, you'll see that I've recommended a book called The Complete Herbal Handbook for the Cat and Dog, and it's published by Faber and Faber, by a woman who is commonly known as Juliet of the Herbs. She's a very famous herbalist, and this book has really, really helped me. Just in case you've been wondering what I've been doing, I've been picking violet leaves from my backyard, which are of course unsprayed, and making a tea, basically an infusion out of the violet leaves, and it's been working miracles on the tumours and abscesses in Eartha's mouth, and all of the swelling has gone. You can go and check out photos on that same page of Eartha if you're interested in having a look and seeing how well she's doing. We've also been using crystals and the healing codes, which, you know, if you have been a listener before, you'll probably have remembered me talking about that before. The healing codes is an energetic healing technique that I really love, and a whole lot of other stuff. So please go and check out that page. And I wanted to mention that especially because I know that there are people out there who have been praying for her and for our little family. So thank you so much for all of your prayers. I know that they've definitely made a huge difference, and I very much appreciate the time and care that you've taken to extend your generosity to us in that way. Now, I've got some wonderful email from last week. If you were listening, Lisa Renee was my guest. She's a galactic emissary of light, and she certainly shed a whole lot of light for all of us on the show last week, as she talked about the ascension wave cycle that we're currently in. So if any of you out there have got any, have had any experiences with your meditations or perhaps your healing work, if you're involved in this area and you've been consciously working towards lifting your own personal frequency or vibration, then please do let us know, especially if it was something that Lisa Renee has helped with. And we finished last week's show with an amazing second chakra clearing exercise, which I've worked with since during the week and found it to be absolutely amazing. And I know that some of you out there who were listening also found the show to be fabulous. So I'm going to just read out a couple of emails that I received last week, and thank you so much to everybody who takes the time to do this. From Kelsey. Hello Liz, I'm a new fan of yours and have jumped on the Otherwear bandwagon from three shows back. I just wanted to write because I really enjoy your show, think you're doing the whole world a great service, and I absolutely love your light meditation on the show. Thank you very much. It's something I look forward to as well. I've also been wanting to tell you for some time now that I love the super high frequency of love and light that your voice carries. I even listened to one show twice. It's also the accent that I love, as I don't get much Aussie radio. I think you are just fantastic, and all the more so because I would go to San Francisco clubs every weekend to dance my tush off to house music. So, Kelsey, thank you so much for that gorgeous email. And you know what? When I read that last line and you told me that you were a house head, I looked upwards and said thank you. It's really great to know that there are people out there who are not only interested in the subject matter that I'm covering, but also have some resonance for the music that I'm playing, because I've been a DJ for a long time and the music that I play on the show is really special to me, and I'm really happy that there are a few people out there who are listening to the show for both reasons. And thank you also about the comment about the accent. I really loved that as well. And from Joshua, I got a great email during the show. Unfortunately, we didn't have time to get to it during last week's show, but Joshua says, "Hi, Lisa and Liz. This is fascinating stuff. Great show. I'm a starseed who experienced a major awakening and realization of this in the fall of 2005. It changed my life forever as my true purpose came into focus for the first time. Great show. I've got to join Lisa's Yahoo group." And when that woman, Danielle, called in and said how everything we'd been discussing on the show, she had gone through to the 10th power, well, that is exactly how I felt while listening. The whole time I was just awestruck, thinking, my God, this show is about me. Oh, and that quote you read from that woman's book, Initiation, well, that just about summed up my childhood better than I ever could. Have a great day and keep up the great work. I mentioned last week, Joshua, that that book, which is by Elizabeth H. and is called Initiation, was published around 30 years ago. I did that from memory, and then I checked after the show and realized that Elizabeth actually published this book in 1960. So as far back as 1960, and really from the turn of the century, we had many starseeds being born in greater and greater numbers, really starting in the biggest wave in the late 60s, and I was part of that particular wave. And the reason why I read out that section from the book about Elizabeth's childhood and how basically she felt very, very isolated and alone, and that she actually didn't belong to the family that she was born in because she was convinced that they weren't her parents because she was so different to them. That's a very, very typical trait and symptom of a being who has incarnated into this life as a starseed or indigo type. Often it's through those earliest interactions with our families that we, number one, establish that there is something very different to the rest of the family going on within, within us, as well as I think perhaps the obstacles that you need to get through of being brought up in a family like that, and I know this from my own personal experience, toughens you up. It makes you much more resilient. It definitely helps you develop a thicker skin, which is kind of important at this transitional time in our world. But they do stick out in your mind, and I'm sure that's why Joshua mentioned that in his email. these experiences do stick out in your mind even when you're much, much older. You can still remember those things very, very clearly because they are part of the awakening process, whether you know that they are at the time or not. And from Syme, from the Otherware Network, and I must say a huge hello to everybody who has joined on the Yahoo group that I formed when this show was created, especially to Zany Mystic, who now has his own show on BBS Radio on Fridays, and to Taylor, who is a regular contributor to the group, and Syme, who is also one of my favourite contributors to the group, because every Monday I wake up, look at my email, and he has usually sent me a lovely email to give me some feedback on what he thought about that week's show. And in regards to last week's show, he said, Lisa is good, Lisa is wise. I was very impressed that she did not attempt to define matters that are experientially defined for the individual and others that when I listen to people define them, I get annoyed. That gave her so much credibility in my eyes, ears and heart. It was interesting to me that Lisa stated that the change wave had already begun. I returned to my home about 11 p.m. Saturday to feel a sense of difference. Something was changed in the energies of my home, which I am ever conscious of, and Syme happens to live out in the wilderness. He's a bit of a frontiersman, so we often hear about some of the treks that he does out into the bush in the area that he lives in Canada, and it just sounds absolutely gorgeous where he is. He goes on to say, while I was listening to the show, I was also outside watching the sky as it was a beautiful clear night and an active atmosphere with heat waves and solar disruptions across the outer. Visitors passed over while the show was on. I got beamed last night. Well, not beamed up as far as I know, just beamed with an audio physical light. He says, I was flashed as they approached and as they passed away, and in brackets, it wasn't a meteor skip in the atmosphere. Seen that too many times to confuse different occurrences. And then he says it will be some time before I consciously realise the importance of it, except that it and other experiences of a similar nature occur, often prior to major occurrences in my life or important times. Yes, I considered that. I know it wasn't landing lights on an aircraft. A very short while later, a raccoon came by and climbed up to rest in a tree next to my porch as we listened to the show. Me, my cats, and the raccoon. It was the same raccoon or animal guide that delivered his spring spirit message, which was something that he mentioned in another email. So much occurs while much of the world slumbers in one respect or another, and it certainly does. Thank you, Syme. You know, when I read that email, I was so blown away, and I wasn't surprised, I have to admit, to hear that you were beamed while you were listening to the show. I know that we had the assistance of many, many higher and finer frequencies and vibrations with us last week, and I'm just so glad that you were able to listen in and heard the show and got as much out of it as you did. And next time you see that raccoon, I want you to say hello from me. And I also wanted to just quickly tell you a little bit about our guest. We're going to go into a break now for a little while. We're going to have some wonderful music from Shalimar, who are one of my favourite bands from the disco period, but Jean Manning, she's coming up shortly after this break, and she has spent much of her life interviewing heretical scientists, or so-called heretical scientists, who struggle to bring you non-polluting, cheap and abundant energy. Her books have been published in 5 languages, and they're all about zero-point energy, space energy, vortexian energy, ether technologies. There are so many worlds to describe this field. Quantum energy is another one. They're descriptors for an emerging science that we're going to be getting into tonight on the show, and it's a subject that I'm really quite obsessed with. So I know that even if it sounds a little techie and maybe a bit serious right now, please stay tuned, because after this break, when Jean Manning comes to join us, we're going to be telling you all about her work and what she has learned from interviewing all of these different people, and now she publishes her own books. One of them is called The Coming Energy Revolution, The Search for Free Energy, which was published in 1996, and another one called Energie, published in 2002. And her most, I think, well-known book is a book she co-authored with Dr. Nick Begich called Angels Don't Play This Harp. It's all about the installation that's in Anchorage, Alaska, or about 200 miles away from there, which a lot of people have speculated on because it has, well, it seems to have many different purposes, and its true purpose doesn't seem to be very apparent. There are lots of theories, and we'll be getting into that as well. Jean is on the advisory board for the new energy movement as well. She's working on a new book now, which is all about the worldwide energy underground and what this emerging new science could mean to us, from planetary cleanup to the spiritual implications of our interconnectedness. And we're back. You've been listening to the sounds of Right Here in the Socket from Shalimar, featuring Jodie Watley once again. And yes, from 1979, Feel That Electricity. And that's exactly what we're going to be feeling a lot of. Or actually, really, it's zero-point energy that we're going to be feeling a lot of with our guest, Jean Manning. Jean, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Liz. Good to be with you.
It's so wonderful to be speaking with you. Thank you for taking the time out for, you know, to spend some time with our listeners. I just know this is going to be a great show.
It's my pleasure.
So, Jean, let's first of all tell people, what is zero-point energy? I know that there's a lot of people out there who've been wondering what this term really means. Mm-hmm. There are so many different names that are being given to this same concept. What's your understanding of it?
Well, you're right that there's so many different names, and it's in quantum physics, it means the vacuum energy, the background or ether energy of the universe, or quantum fluctuations of the vacuum. Well, that's not going to mean anything to anybody, but think a background energy that's a primal energy out of which everything else is built. Even it got down to the subatomic level, everything is built out of this primal energy. So it's recognized in quantum physics, but not all engineers are recognizing that it could be tapped into for useful work. And that's where the inventors that are working on this around the world come in with their little prototype proof of principle devices that show in many cases it is indeed possible to tap into that background swirling energy if they know how, and they're sharing their knowledge of the tricks of the trade, the various understanding, how to if you think of it as a swirling constant, constantly in motion, vortexian, three-dimensional spiraling. And so they build devices that resonate through the materials that are used, or through the frequencies at which they oscillate, or even the basic shapes that their devices are built from are important, because these researchers are coming to an understanding that this background field of energy has its own ways, and that certain shapes it interacts with differently than others. I think for many years you've all heard about pyramid power, and,
yes.
And it seems that that's what's happening there, is that the points of the pyramid interact with the background energy in different ways than the flat surfaces, and it may come spiraling up out of the very apex of a pyramid. People who have special psychic gifts, some of them have worked with some of the researchers giving them some feedback on what it is they're doing with their devices, kind of help speed up the work by giving them instant readouts, because we don't have any instrumentation. There aren't any instruments being built and sold that can give us any data about the really subtle or super high frequencies or whatever model you want to how you want to describe the zero point energy. It's only through its interaction with materials and shapes that we get some indication that it's there. And there's not just one description of what the background energy is. There's a whole spectrum of descriptions. And maybe it's like the story of the blind man and the elephant, where one blind man finds the trunk of the elephant, so he tells everybody quite definitely that an elephant is like a rope, or the same with the one who encounters the tail. Yet somebody who encounters one of the legs will say, no, it's more like a tree trunk. An elephant is a tree trunk. And maybe this is encountering different aspects of the zero-point energy accounts for the whole range of descriptions of what it is. In alternative health, you talk about the life force energy, or chi.
Yes, I'd love to know more about that. Jean, I'm having a lot of trouble hearing you. I'm probably catching every third word.
Oh, that's not good.
it's actually making it very, very difficult for me to know when to ask you. And we're back. I'm terribly sorry about the dead air, everybody. Thanks for your patience, and hopefully everything now will be A-OK. Jean, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Oh, lovely. I can hear you now. Thank you. Oh, these things that go wrong sometimes with the show, I've been told that the reason why is because we're bringing in such high frequencies that the technology just can't cope. And I like to go with that explanation.
I like it.
So let's talk about how zero-point energy actually does tie in with life force energy. Are they really just the same thing?
Oh, some of the researchers think that they are. And it's also all a matter of the worldview of the scientists doing the studying. For many mainstream scientists, life force just doesn't compute. They even would say that there is no such thing. Well, I'm sure that you know that there is such a thing. You work with subtle energies, probably in healing work, and you understand prana, chi, whatever you want to call it.
Anyone who observes the process of life and then death has to accept that there's life force energy, because that energy is simply not present in a corpse.
Right. And so it's at a more primary level than, say, bioelectricity, which can be measured. It's more basic and therefore more powerful, because everything flows out of it. And in fact, some of the researchers go into an area that I'm sure you'd be interested in, the consciousness connection with the background energy of the universe. I mean, those who really delve deeply enough see our living universe as an intelligence, and they're, like I say, but there's a whole range of theories. There's also a whole range of technologies. So some of them are closer to what we already know today, and some of the experiments are, I think, a future. They're kind of harbingers of the future. They're well, for example, the work of John Keeley, who was his life kind of overlapped that of Tesla. And it's said that if Nikola Tesla was 100 years ahead of his time, that John Keeley was 200 years ahead of his time. And he worked with principles called sympathetic vibratory physics. And his devices were beautiful, like, very beautifully polished copper spheres and really wild-looking apparatus, but entirely different principles than anything that we work with, but yet more harmonious. I mean, that's what it was all about. It was about understanding harmonious or inharmonious interactions with metals. But I'm going too far off to an extreme with that. I think probably your listeners want to know something more practical, like what our chances are of of having something in the near future that's of a revolutionary energy technology.
Yes, I think they are definitely interested in that, as we all are. And there are so many implications of you know, what that would mean for our world if we did actually have devices that could provide us with free energy. And I would love to get into that a little bit more with you later in the show. But can you tell me about the way things have gone for people who are in this area who have actually, you know, had the science background and are dedicated or have dedicated their lives to trying to find ways to tap this cosmic source of energy that promises unlimited amounts of, you know, energy for us. How have they, I mean, and going back to someone like Nikola Tesla, who really is like the godfather of all our understandings of electricity nowadays, even back when he was first coming up with different energy sources, I believe that he was told that when he demonstrated a device that I believe was a free energy device, that the people who he showed it to basically weren't interested because they really wanted to they wanted him to create a device that would meter electricity so that people would have to pay for it.
Exactly.
That's still there today, isn't it?
That's still there, and it's in spades today because governments are getting billions in gasoline taxes, fuel taxes. And there are some real sticky questions that have to be solved, but I don't think that they're insoluble. surely the human spirit can come up with an alternate economy. We have the brains, we have the will to do it, or at least the people do. We don't have the political will yet, but it's possible to build a real economy based on something other than oil. You know, it's not.
I totally agree. But we seem to be locked into a position where all of our infrastructure depends on oil.
Well, that's right, and it is true.
And that's gonna, you know, does it mean having to dismantle all of that? Really,
Oil will always be used in petrochemical products, pharmaceuticals, plastics. We're burning a precious resource that's still going to be needed after we don't burn. You know, we have this fireplace economy for the past all too long, back into the 19th century, where everything's based on burning. And in fact, some peoples in Africa refer to us as the people who burn. You know, they just see that's what we do, and it's not necessary. There is another way. What was the question again?
Well, I was just pointing out how difficult it might be for us, and maybe that's one of the reasons why it has been difficult. It's the infrastructure. It's just so geared towards fossil fuel, a fossil fuel economy, and we have the ideas, and it seems that we also have the technology. We've got plenty of technology out there now. It's either been suppressed, or people cannot find the investors to help, you know, push it forward, because ultimately we're still dealing with a fuel-based economy and an infrastructure system that doesn't make it that easy to incorporate these new types of technologies.
You have quite.
But I agree with you. I really think that the human spirit is definitely strong enough and dedicated enough to create these changes. And that's why you're on the show, because I think that you're one of the people in the world who really can offer us solutions and point us in the right direction because of the research that you've done.
I'm a reporter from the front lines. I'm not a scientist myself. Actually, my degree is in sociology. But I just have this strong belief, and have had for 20-some years, that if the people of the world knew what was possible, surely we could muster up the political will to make changes. I think that especially a lot of young people they hear nothing but bad news about future prospects, and there is good news. We could have a really exciting future. I'm not someone who says that technology is a magic bullet or it's going to cure all our ills. We have a lot of work to do on our human society, but it's not hopeless. We're not in such an impossible situation as some would tell us we're in. We do have big problems, and energy won't solve all of them, but it certainly will solve some huge environmental problems when we turn to clean energy, and it'll certainly solve a lot of economic problems when we realize that this isn't a finite resource, that only one country has a supply of zero-point energy underneath its ground. This is everywhere available to everyone. And that's why those who want to control don't really want us to have it.
Yes. Why would a woman with your sociology background be interested in inventions like this? What's your motivation for being a reporter from the front line?
My motivation is my three children, and now I have little grandbabies. That's what it's all about. There are just too many children in the world with asthma. My son's wife has breathing difficulties. I take this clean air issue to heart because I have lived with pristine air in Alaska and Idaho and in various parts of the Northwest. And the difference between that and the cities, it's just unnecessary. We talk about the life force. The life force in the air was just palpable when I was young on our farm. It just sparkled. The air just sparkled. And you don't find sparkling air in any cities. But it's possible. It's just strictly get rid of the burning. And that includes nuclear fission power plants where they're consuming a fuel of uranium. It's all,
yes.
They're all working on the explode, burn, heat, expanding. And there are the opposite type of technologies are possible. They're called implosion-based technologies, not implosion as in a bomb, but inward spiraling motion that instead of creating heat and friction, for instance, a man named Victor Schauberger is kind of the grandfather of the implosion technologies, and he had what he called twister pipes that were spiraling in a fashion that was inspired by the way river water coils along in a longitudinal vortex. And inside the pipe, the water or whatever was running through didn't get pushed and destroyed by heat and pressure. Instead, it went faster and faster because it was coiling away from the pipe, from the perimeter of the pipe and coiling toward the center and just increasing its energy and clarity as it goes along. So we could have technologies that clean up whatever medium goes through them instead of destroy whatever medium goes through it, you know, whether it be water or air that's going through a device or, you know, we push nowadays water through a turbine that just totally chops it up and wrecks it. Not respecting water's integrity of its laminar layers, but it's possible to have technologies that are just the opposite. And they're also useful in concentrating waste materials out of polluted water, and so you can draw off the waste materials and clean up polluted water. All these things are possible. Just have to have the will.
That's right. Well, let's talk about some of the, technologies that are already being used now to generate clean fuel or clean energy, and some of those things would be water mills or windmills.
Mm-hmm.
The water mill is still in the planning stages, isn't it?
Well, you mean like tidal power?
Yeah, well, I know that there's an idea for a water mill with a sort of like a rotary blade under the water instead of above the water. If you put a windmill in an ocean and put the blade under the water,
yes,
I believe that's
some.
Yeah, blue energy.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you know of other technologies that are out there right now that are being used?
Oh, that are being used. Well, there are advances in solar technology, concentrating the solar power more efficiently into the collecting dishes. But there's even more revolutionary possibilities that aren't being put into use in solar.
Well, let's talk about that then.
Pardon?
Sorry, let's talk about that then.
Okay. A man named Alvin Marks back in Massachusetts has developed an advanced thin film organic polymer, it's called. So in other words, a flexible solar film for gathering electricity from the sun. But, you know, the current photovoltaics is only about up to 20% efficient at most, but the efficiency for this new material is it looks like it'll be between 80 and 85%. And
wow, that's really great.
Has, you know, gotten that to the prototype stage, but it's not a full-scale production yet. But he's a scientist with quite a track record, you know, invented the polarizing technologies back in, I don't know, 1940s or way back there, 50s. And so he has it figured out how to manufacture this in bulk, and that the cost per kilowatt hour would be much less than that of cost for fossil fuels. He's being conservative in what he says. And the CIA came along, gave him a little bit of funding at one point. I think they wanted his solid panels. He also has an invention of solid panels for their spy satellites. And they came, got what they wanted, got the information, and then left. And he's just kind of been left hanging. He has technology that's maybe too good for being funded for the people. It just actually just basically ignored, despite the fact that he is a very distinguished gentleman. And now he's in his 90s, and I don't know if he's going to live to see his technology put to use. But he also has not just a way to gather solar energy more efficiently into electricity, but he also has a solution. Theoretically, it hasn't been built, but he calls Quencer, quantum energy storage or retrieval. In other words, a type of battery that would, through really advanced principles, would store the electricity. And so that's kind of the holy grail of the solar technologies. And so there's also batteries that aren't being put into production that are so much dramatically more, potentially so much better. There's a MIT scientist, Donald Sadoway, who invented this kind of sounds like Alvin Marks is rolling out the solar film. This is a roll-to-roll battery production, in other words, thin film, and no liquid chemistry, so there's no leakage, no overheating, no explosion, and extremely lightweight, and it would be easy mass production, too, for his thin film batteries, just like printing a bunch of Mylar off a printing press. Or
wow, that sounds amazing.
Laminating plastic photovoltaic sheets. But you know what happened to that? Because he is a professor at MIT, doesn't own the rights to his invention. By the way, he had a woman co-inventor, I'm happy to say. Instead, MIT licensed it off to some California company who has sat on it for 11 years, I think it is. So it's
been Yeah, it's really saddening to hear stories like that, you know, because if you do any amount of research into this subject, that's what you keep coming up against, isn't it? You just keep hearing more and more stories of people who've been thwarted or who've just come up with the most incredible inventions that could help so many people and help our planet. And yet either the patents have, you know, been sequestered by the government and they're sitting on it, or a private company is sitting on the technology and not doing anything with it. In some cases, people just don't have the money or the investors to take it off on their own. And, it's going to be a great day when some more of these inventions get to be released to the public. And we actually get to see the benefits from them.
Do you think
that that's very far off?
Well, I don't know, but I was looking for signs of hope, and I ran across an interview with Stephen Schwartz, one of the world's top researchers of consciousness. And,
yes.
And his 2050 project involved interviews with more than 4,000 people who were kind of guided into a non-local awareness, maybe you'd call it remote viewing, and asked to project forward to the year 2050 and answer a series of questions about what they saw there. So I just made a note about the what they saw to do with energy. And Dr. Schwartz said that they saw that there has been an energy revolution, and I'm quoting from the interview now, energy is no longer an issue. There's some kind of decentralized kind of energy. He says this is the case where, even though I was only looking less than 100 years into the future, the descriptions don't mean anything to me or to anybody else that I've shown them to. All I can say is they describe this thing. It's probably 3 feet high and maybe 3 feet wide, like a big box, various sizes. They sit in individual homes or neighborhoods and provide power. And so in 2050, nobody thinks as much about power anymore. So that was
good. Well, that's great news.
I didn't have to wait that long, you know. I'd like to see something happening before 2012, please. But, you know, various researchers say that we'll just take it offshore. You know, offshore isn't always the answer either, because the tentacles reach into Europe. I know that. I have friends over there. One of the researchers was visited by agency people.
Yes.
But yet, you can't, as we said before, you can't put down the human spirit. You can't quench the human spirit. And they're finding ways. The internet is a wonderful boon to cooperation. I remember when I was first hanging around the home of an inventor and his wife, and they were real excited back 25 years ago because they finally had a fax machine, so they could fax back and forth between their European fellow researchers. He was from Germany. But now it's... they have every possible way to pass pictures and of course videos. It's not limited to still photos, and it's been very helpful to advance the state of the art. And the Yahoo groups, or you know, various discussion groups. Little subgroups on every variation of any type of invention that you can mention, I think. There's a discussion group where they're sharing not everybody's doing experiments, but some of them are, and they're sharing what they're coming up with. So it's moving along, and some of the people who've been threatened have vowed that if anything happens to them or any family member, that everything that they know is going to be plastered across the internet. And, because not everybody is sharing everything they know. I mean, some of them have invested their lives and their families' savings into their research, and they just can't see their way through to open sourcing everything that they've worked on for 25 years. But they certainly all intend to make sure that their knowledge gets out if something happens to them. saw that?
Well, that's very interesting. I remember last year hearing about the tragic murder of Dr. Eugene Maloff, who was involved with cold fusion research. And then just recently, Stanley Myers, the inventor of the water car, was murdered. It's just so full on what's happening with these people. So I guess that must be the reason why other scientists are threatening to, you know, spread their information across the internet if anything happens to them, because it is happening, still happening to people kind of even now. So there is still a real danger there for people, and I guess that must be, sorry to talk over you, but, you know, do governments actually support this new energy research, and how do you think they might be tied into what's going on with some of these researchers who are going missing or being harmed?
I can only speculate on who's behind the threats and the trashing of laboratories and the warnings. They don't leave a calling card. I don't really know. One researcher back in Iowa does. Oh, actually, I can think of two who've told me of the various alphabet soup agencies who've visited them. So there is some government involvement in some cases, but whether it's a secreted part of the government, segmented off that the rest of the bureaucrats don't know about, or perhaps even higher up elected officials don't know about, you know, the black budget world, as it's called, where not even the legislators and often not even the president of the country can know where these billions of dollars are spent, because they're put into unacknowledged special access programs, they're called. Who knows? One has to be an insider in those black budget circles to really know for sure who's. And in some cases, threats are made by thugs that may have been sent by some corporate interests. I don't know. None of them have, other than those few that flashed the badges to David Farnsworth and the gentleman in Iowa, they haven't really revealed anything about where they came from.
Yeah. Is this why so few academics advocate for the revolutionary energy technologies that tap into zero-point energy?
No, I don't think that they even believe these stories of suppression. They're having a good snicker.
Oh, really?
It's more the paradigm hasn't changed for them yet, and they're still very much in the sway of what they were taught was impossible, and their fear is of the scorn of their fellow academics, or that their grants will be cut off. Or some, maybe if they have a sense that there's something to this non-conventional research, but that they also realize that their grants would be in jeopardy if something came out of the woodwork or out of left field, something that was unexpected that would make what they were working on obsolete. That's one motivation. But mostly, from what I see, it's academic arrogance of the current paradigm, thinking that that they know everything, and that people who are talking about quite a different worldview don't know what they're talking about. They don't bother to look into it and check out the academic backgrounds of people like Dr. Harold Aston of England, who has a website about the ether, and he has a very distinguished career in, I think it's Cambridge and IBM, as their European patent officer. I mean, there are people with very impressive backgrounds, but most academics don't come to look in the window, so they don't find that out. They're really afraid of being associated with what they call the fringe, because it really is a career wrecker at this point. And now that, you know, we haven't quite gone through the paradigm shift yet, it does endanger some people's careers, and I guess worse yet, to some of them, it would cause them to be ridiculed by their peers, and that's very painful. And
I don't know if you know about a couple of guys in Australia who came up with a magnetic motor that was supposed to incorporate the idea of over-unity, where you make more energy than you take in.
Was that the one called Lutet?
Lou Britz. Yeah, huh. Lou Britz and another guy. Do you know about that?
I have read about them. Uh-huh.
Yeah, do you know anything? Do you have an update on what happened with those guys? Because I think one of them disappeared, and he can't be found now, and... They were sounded to me like they were on the verge of something really wonderful.
No, I don't, and I'd like to know myself.
Yeah, and do you know anything about the Joe cell?
Oh, I've certainly been hearing from the researchers who are following that, and that came out of Australia. And
that's right, and it's now, spelled J-O-E.
Yeah.
I guess it's named after the inventor.
Just in those last few weeks, maybe a bit more than a month ago, one researcher in the States was stopped and warned to stop his research. And I think his name is Bill Williams. And then just this week, somebody else came out. Ken Rasmussen said that his partner was threatened, that a couple of thugs ran him off the road, and gave him all sorts of information about himself and his family that made it evident that his phones had been tapped, and somehow these thugs had access to information from some sophisticated surveillance technology. And so these people stopped working. They sent out a message to people who were just about to invest in them that they'd stopped working on it. And this is really discouraging, isn't it? I don't want to contribute to the fear in the world. It's kind of a dilemma. I want the general public to realize what's going on, because they're so quick to be super critical of the beleaguered inventors that I know.
That's so true, and I'm with you. I definitely don't want to increase the fear. I do want to enlighten people, though, and make sure that people understand that there are some serious ramifications for those who are interested in this area if they want to pursue inventing technologies that will better our planet. It's just horrifying to think that that's the situation. However, that is the situation. Mm-hmm. And I guess we've spent enough time on that now to have established that as something real.
We could talk about the good news aspect of it, which is that this has reinforced the determination of some of the researchers to carry on.
That's right.
And I know when our friend Jean Malov was murdered, this really stiffened the backs of some people who said, we'll carry on for Jean's sake. And among the community of researchers, there is a spirit of cooperation, and that these things just bring them closer together. So.
Well, that's great to hear. So there's actually been information sharing going on?
Yes. And... I think it is important to let the general public know about what's going on, because I hope that there'll be more compassion for all sectors. You know, even when the old paradigm crumbles and the new one comes forth, I don't want there to be any vindictiveness toward the people who've who've held it back, like me and the academics, I mean, they're just doing the best with what they know and the way they've been taught. And the same with even some of the people in the so-called black world, the military-industrial complex. They, too, believe, I'm sure, many of them believe that they're doing the best thing for their country. They, I guess, have it instilled in them that that their country's economy is based on fossil fuels, and they have to protect that way of life. I mean, you and I don't see it that way, but yet when the time comes, I hope that what I'm all about is trying to get the public to be more understanding about the researchers, and just one more thing about this explains why they have a reputation for being so difficult, paranoid, and secretive, or what all the negative descriptions of many of the inventors. If we'd been through what they'd been through, we would too. So bless them all. it's a time when we're on the verge of a scientific revolution, it looks like, and so the old way of thinking may realize that they're on the way out, and that may account for some of the extremes of the extreme skeptics, the pathological skepticism. there may be some frightened people who realize that the way that they were taught might be threatened.
Might be wrong.
they might not be the know-it-all that they thought that they were.
Yeah. Well, that's it, isn't it? At the very frontier of science and these new ideas that are emerging, that's exactly what's happening. We're being challenged to, you know, reevaluate everything that we believe about how our world works, about physics, about how we define ourselves. And that's really what I'd like to get into when we come back after the break. Besides catching up on a little more about the technologies that are out there and what we each can do individually to help the researchers or to just help the planet by doing something in our own lives. We'll be talking to Jane Manning about that when we return. So, Jane, we'll be back in 5 minutes.
All right.
You're tuned in to Otherwhere with myself, Liz Miller, and our guest this evening, Jane Manning. She lives near Vancouver, Canada, and is the author of The Coming Energy Revolution, The Search for Free Energy, and Energie, published in 2002, and co-author of the book with Dr. Nick Begich, Angels Don't Play This Harp. She has also contributed chapters to Suppressed Inventions and Other Discoveries and co-authored The Granite Man and the Butterfly, the David Hamill story. Her books are published in 5 languages, and with an honours in sociology, Jane has held various jobs from social worker to newspaper editor, and currently she writes The Report from the Front, Tracking the Coming Energy Revolution. It's a column for Atlantis Rising magazine, and you can find that on the web at atlantisrising.com. This is something that I pulled off Jane's website earlier today. She says there's no shortage of revolutionary inventions to solve problems such as the world's energy crisis, but there is a lack of political will to change from dirty technology to clean on a large scale. A spiritual malaise underlies that lack of will. And looking only at surface world events, it's difficult to believe that enough people will ever transcend their fear, anger, or greed in order to solve humankind's most pressing environmental, economic, health, and social problems. However, the critical number of altruistic change makers required would only be a tiny fraction of Earth's inhabitants. I believe a fast increasing number of people are becoming self-aware and will take action. and many are already active. Welcome back, Jean. I loved what you said in that last paragraph. It really is very true, and that this show is specifically made to appeal to those people who are becoming self-aware and who want to take action. So if we all want to live in a world that has cleaner air, cleaner water, and is safe for us to bring up our children and grandchildren and will be something that we're proud to leave future generations, how can each one of us do that in our own lives?
Well, first of all, become educated, self-educated, or switch off the TV, which I'm sure your listeners probably don't spend much time with anyway. And
knowledge is power. It's all about knowledge is power.
Right. Listen to Liz's program. No, really, the ways to find out the alternatives, as everyone knows, it's not in the mainstream media. So be informed and hold the vision. But above all, it's about raising the level of spiritual readiness for a new paradigm. And starting with myself, we start with ourselves, with what it takes to raise the level, living with integrity and caring, and choose love over fear and greed. Love, I remember what famous scientist Marcel Vogel, I heard him speak one time, and somebody in the audience asked him, what's you're talking about this various kinds of crystals and pyramid power and subtle energies, and he says, and the audience member asked, what's the strongest power? And Marcel Vogel said that the most powerful force in the universe is love.
Yes.
We recognize the old thinking and recognize that the old paradigm is all about scarcity thinking and the old politics be able to be ready to accept that abundance is our birthright, energy abundance. I'm not talking about abundance of gadgets that we don't need, but rather just as clean air is our birthright, the energy to do what we need to build a more enlightened civilization is our birthright. And what else we can do, just be patient. In light of the conversation we've just had now, staying calm and compassionate and forgiving is really important to be a steady point of light. So it's really important that each of us work on ourselves, keep your own life in balance, and I'm sure they get lots of help listening to your show. I listened to one of them that was archived, and so I would tell people to activate your otherware. That's what you can do.
Well, actually, you're the otherware. you're the one giving us the activation. So actually, you're the otherware. But anyway, it's true. Activating otherware and being otherware, it's all the same thing. It's actually a little bit like the zero point field. I'd love to talk to you a little bit about a researcher called Mark Cummings, who you turned me on to, who I think is really quite amazing.
He is one of these
guys who is bringing the new physics and synthesizing it with the new spirituality, or the ancient spirituality that is re-emerging. And it's so great when you see people who are out there who are talking in a language that melds the two just so perfectly. And if you wouldn't mind, I'd like to read out something from an article that you wrote in Atlantis Rising magazine. This one's from October 2004. And Mark Cummings gave a lecture that you reported on, and he said that he found that all the great spiritual traditions characterize consciousness as equal to space. And he says that, I think the space we are arising in is identical to what is called the Great Spirit, the mind of God. And I think when I read those words, that was what grabbed me instantly, because that is exactly how I feel about it. the older concepts of the fundamentals of physics left consciousness out of the picture because that older paradigm is coloured by the materialistic view. Leading-edge physics, on the other hand, points the way towards humans working coherently together. We can learn from the way some new energy devices tap into the energy of space. One key is to tune into that energy field, to be in resonance with it. And as Cummings did in experiments with piezoelectric crystals and ringing resonance by injecting certain frequencies into the crystals, I believe, so that's pretty amazing stuff. Mm-hmm. And then he says that that we too are biocrystalline structures emerging in every moment out of the plenum or boundless potentiality of space, the potential of space. Infinite potential is our true nature, you go on to write. We are plugged in and more powerful creatively than we realize. Whatever is going on in the physical world is a reflection of where we're at spiritually. And then he went on to say, and actually drew strong applause after he revealed that the new physics reveals in a scientifically unassailable way that scarcity, limitation and lack, beliefs which profoundly impacted human psychology for millennia, are a lie. That limited paradigm plunged us into a planetary nightmare, but the new science is guiding us out of that. And we're actually seeing, through the understandings that we're gaining from quantum physics especially, that the essence of our universe is connection, is coherence, is unity. And so now it seems that we are, you know, actually learning from these experiments that we're making,
exactly.
Not just about energy in the universe or how to power our homes, but about the nature of our reality. It's quite an incredible situation that we're in.
And
you know, like we're on the verge of this huge revolution.
And that's actually, you know, you asked my motivation. Well, it's half environmental, you know, take care of my grandchildren, being able to have clean air, but it's also the spiritual, the expectation that when enough people understand that we're all made out of the same primal substance and we're all interconnected in it, then my hope is that there will be less feeling of the other and hating the other, but more realizing that is us. We all are the other. We are all interconnected, and so I hate myself. I really expect that children growing up with a new paradigm will have a different attitude towards people in other parts of the world.
Yes. Well, I think that they're you know, being born now with other things switched on, and a new awareness that people of older generations just weren't born with, and have either had to cultivate through their lives or through some awakening experience. They've had that. However, the children, they just seem to be keyed into it already, very naturally.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems to be something that they don't even question, really.
And as Mark Cummings travels around the world, he's meeting people in clumps here and there, intentional communities and just gatherings of people who are part of the new paradigm. And he's quite a networker connecting the points of light on the planet. You'll have to get him on the show sometime. I know that will happen.
Oh, I absolutely
he's very,
would love to do that.
Very eloquent. And that's why it's my favorite physicist to quote, is because of the advanced understanding. And there are other, it seems like San Francisco is kind of a center of a lot of that worldview. Bernard Haysch, who just brought out a book called The God Theory, is there. And all those people are kind of interconnected. Mark was also part of the Joe Firmage's ISSO, I think that's International Center for Space. I can't remember what it stands for, something about space research, but Joe Firmage being a he was wealthy in the dot-com world and funded some really interesting gatherings of leading-edge science while he still had funding.
So do you have any ideas why San Francisco is a bit of a key place right now?
Well, California always has been kind of the where movements start. And the Bay Area, there is a strong environmentally oriented consciousness. And there's the Institute of Noetic Science has a new center there, I believe. And just an interesting energies there.
Well, it's good to hear about. And are there any other places in the world where there seem to be hot spots?
Well, your whole country seems to have produced more than its share, but as far as population goes, of people who are helpful in this field, including Nexus Magazine.
Oh, they're fantastic, aren't they?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And Canada's doing all right. I know quite a few.
Actually, yeah, Canada is doing really, really well. I've got to say, I've been having some incredible interactions with people from Canada through people who've heard about me because of the show or because of my weblog or because of research that I've done where I've actually come across certain individuals who I think are doing really great things. Vancouver in particular seems to be an area where there's a lot of consciousness growing going on, and it's very wonderful to see.
It is. I'm pleased to be moving back there. And your associate, Eric McIntosh, is there.
Yes.
And
yes, he's definitely a future star.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And it's not the whole west coast of the U.S. There's Portland, which is,
yes, that's
is
true.
Quite known as an environmentally conscious city as it is, but the new energy movement seems to be coming out of there at this time. The president, Joel Garvin, is there, and we had a conference at two venues, a new energy movement conference in 2004 at the Portland State University and then and also a private college. And the people were very supportive.
Now, you sit on the advisory board of the New Energy Movement. Could you just tell the listeners basically what that is about and what your role is with them?
Well, the goal of the New Energy Movement is to, what we've been talking about tonight, bring out to the public awareness the whole field of revolutionary energy technologies that most people don't know about, and to promote education and support for that, support for the research. The down the road goal is to be able to fund some sort of laboratories and help the inventors. Right now it's beginnings of a movement, so it has to be funded itself before it can really take off. It was co-founded by Brian O'Leary, who was in the Apollo astronaut program, and he's very eloquent spokesman for the new paradigm. I'll be seeing him next weekend. Haven't seen him for a while. And the whole board of directors and advisory board, I have never worked with such a interesting group of people from diverse viewpoints who share a common goal to bring out this knowledge, and I really think something is going to come of it. We had a similar group in Vancouver back in the late 1990s and maybe planted some sort of seed in the ether. That was interesting. A man from Eastern Europe looked me up and said he'd read The Coming Energy Revolution and wanted to see what he could do. Would I get together a group of people of all sorts of different backgrounds, and we can kind of brainstorm, is there a need for a public grassroots movement on this planet around the new energy technologies? Well, that, of course there is. And anyway, we did get a couple dozen people from all sorts of backgrounds, from scientists to business people and Native First Nations leaders. And
yes.
And there was such interest in it that the people kept meeting monthly for quite a while after that, and did get a few things accomplished. So there's this spirit in this world that I encountered in when I went to Europe a few times for conferences over there, and where we had a meeting after one of the conferences around the same thing, trying to figure out how a international new energy foundation could be formed. And of course, funded is always the problem, because there is some expense involved in getting a foundation going. But that was really interesting, that there were people from, oh, definitely more than 12 countries there, maybe more like 20, and they all shared this same intention to do what they could to help bring these revolutionary energy technologies out of the closet and out to the world.
You wrote something about this particular subject that I thought I'd read out, because it's so beautiful, just this one line. You write how Cummings is seeing widespread desire for a new planetary culture based on cosmic awareness, instead of giving allegiance to national governments or corporations. Instead, loyalty is given to the biosphere, fidelity to the interconnected field of life. And that is really, it just puts everything into perspective when you put it in those terms. Of course, that's the way we should be thinking about it. And of course, that's the way people want to approach the healing of our planet. It's just so fantastic to know that there are people and organizations like the New Energy Movement out there who are expressions of this new energy and this new phase of healing the planet that we're actually sort of right in the beginning stages of.
There are a lot of people with noble goals and noble objectives who aren't in it for their own personal gain, but rather want to do something worthwhile with their lives. And we just need to
find
a way
to
mobilize.
How can people who are listening...
Pardon?
Yes. How can people who are listening right now perhaps help any of the researchers that are out there? Is there anything that people could do to lend a hand?
To help get the New Energy Movement off the ground would be helpful. We need to start up chapters in all sorts of different places. There's a website, newenergymovement.org, they can connect with. And to help the individual researchers, it's not an easy thing to answer, because there needs to be some sort of a group with the technical knowledge to judge the technical merit of the inventions, because
yes.
There have been, a smaller proportion than some people would have it, inventors who have really been mistaken about what they actually had. They've fooled themselves. I haven't run across any maliciously devious people in this field. I'm sure that there have been. Well, okay, there's somebody who goes around and tries to drum up money that I don't have any time for. But most of the researchers are well-meaning, but there are some who are maybe measuring incorrectly how much their magnet motor or whatever is putting out, and so there needs to be the technical people to. Technical people of goodwill. There is a group that's in its beginning stages called the New Energy Congress that's planning to fill that role, and they're, like I say, in the beginning stages, but they're working on it, trying to judge the worth of different technologies. I think they need need to work, be at it a bit longer with a few more technical people on board. So it's so new and so unsupported that anything that anybody can do to help is helpful. I just didn't want to encourage people to go out and open their wallets to the nearest inventor they meet, because that can be a bottomless pit. You have to kind of know what you're doing. You can give them loving support. You can
yes.
Be a friend and listen and be patient. That you can do. And educate yourself. Everybody can do that and kind of pass the word to other people that they know to keep an eye on. Oh, say websites like zpenergy.com is one of the websites where they really try to post information that's helpful and have some good links. And they have links to other websites where one can educate themselves, like a link to Dr. Harold Aspen's website about the ether. I think it's energyscience.uk. And get together with other people who can help each other and become informed. That's kind of what was happening in Vancouver for a while there.
And what about if someone has an invention, or they are sitting on an idea that they think could be a real working unit? Where do they go? You know, like if they've been listening to the show, they'd probably be a bit wary about approaching you know, the usual venues in the mainstream. Who would be the best people to point them in the right direction? Would the new energy movement be a good place for them to go?
It would be a good place to go, and know that you're not going to be just taken advantage of.
That's really it, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. There's Open Source Energy Network, OSEN, is a website with again, in the beginning stages, but with the intention to be helpful in that way. An inventor who has something, I would really encourage them not to give up, not to give in to interfere, but realize there's always a way to get around those obstacles that are out there. And careful who you confide in, but do trust somebody. Do get support, if only moral support. It's a time for, you know, spiritual warriorism to be wise in the way that you who you associate with and what you have to say. Be careful, but yet don't be extreme with it.
And in terms
they might
of
want to go to one of the conferences that are coming.
Oh yes.
Mm-hmm. There's one at the end of July in near Salt Lake City, which is I think TeslaTech.org is the website to tell you about that one. So that's a good one for the researchers that want to learn more about some of the technologies. It's not, I mean, they welcome the general public, but it might be kind of boring for some of my sisters. You know? There's also, okay, Nassim Harmin is giving a talk down in Ashland, Oregon, a couple of weeks from now. And his website is The Resonance Project, I believe it's .org.
I love his work, by the way, mm-hmm. So I would highly encourage anybody out there who can make it along to that to go.
Yes, and everybody will be able to understand, all your listeners would be able to understand what he's talking about. I mean, he won't talk down to you, but he makes it lively and interesting. You'll be kidding around.
Well, I think we should make our conversation a little more lively and interesting by asking some listeners to join us in the conversation, if you would like to do that.
All right.
You can call in to BBS Radio toll-free on 877-876-5227. We've only got a few minutes to take your calls, so please call now. And we would love to hear from you. So, again, that number is 877-876-5227. And, Jean, where can people find you on the internet?
I have a website, jeanmanning.com or .ca, and it's J-E-A-N-E. This is the spelling of Jean, all one word, Jean Manning. And
ring, ring.
Hello. Who have we got on the line?
This is Doug, and I have a question, actually. I find
Hello, Doug.
I actually find this fascinating, a show. I always do. I congratulate you. It's one of the few shows I listen to. And
thank you, darling.
Yeah, you know, I'm doing this 24/7. So, have you had a chance to look at zero point energy and some of the work done by CRISPR Holmes in that sort of an energy basis? Have you looked into that?
Christopher Holmes. Where's Christopher?
Dr. Holmes? Christopher Holmes, H-O-L-M-E-S, zeropointenergy.com.
Well, thank you. I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah, then there's actually I could probably connect you with a few people in different respects. I encourage everybody to go out there and think about, you know, if they could. Rename those, Liz. Would you at least rename the places where people could go that if they had information on this specific, you know, free energy, that where to, you know, start inquiring? Okay? I really love this topic, by the way. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. It's a fascinating subject. It really is. Have we got anyone else on the line? Doesn't sound like we do, not yet anyway. So, Jean, what I would like to talk to you about now is this whole idea of the field or the zero-point field or ether or orgon energy. I know there are probably about 100 other names I could list off for you to describe what we're talking about. But really, it's love, isn't it? It's love.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're really doing here is recognizing that everything in creation is vibrating with this love frequency, that is what actually brought everything into being in the first place. And it's what is bringing everything back into a state of perfection or... You know, there's many ways you could put it, but that's one way, that mm-hmm. as we have gone through a change in our state that some people refer to as the fall, that we were in a state of being somewhat higher or finer than that before then. We've come into density. We've forgotten who we are.
mm-hmm.
And we're at this wonderful point in our evolution where we're actually beginning to remember who we are and we're starting to understand what we're truly made of and why we're here. Would you like to expand on that?
The theories of the various people that are working with the new paradigm are along the lines exactly of what you say and what they are in contrast to is the reductionistic materialistic paradigm of the 20th century and the blindness of that paradigm is thinking that everything is breaking down. Like it's not. It's like you said, everything's being brought back into a state of perfection, and we need a new story. You know, the story of the 20th century physics science was all about entropy, which means that everything is going to die a heat death. Everything's breaking down. Everything's falling apart. And if we believed that as strongly as everybody did in the 20th century, we kind of create that world. You know, I really see that our thoughts create a reality is a reality. And as long as we believe the story that everything has to just deteriorate and break down, then we're not surprised when society is deteriorating. But if we realize that another way is possible, and that again, there's the science to back it up. Ilya Prigogine won the Nobel Prize, and he showed how, under certain circumstances, order comes out of chaos. That systems self-organize, and that's kind of goes against the teaching of 20th century science that's so entropy-based. But self-organization is possible in natural systems, so why not in our society? Why it is possible, you know. The science just shows that it is possible, that we can have the story that includes getting it together, you know, reorganizing society on a better basis. It's a more enlightened civilization. It is possible.
So do you think that in your life you're going to see this paradigm shift occur and that you will be able to leave this life feeling good about, you know, where we're at and that you'll, you know, that you'll be able to take your last breath and it'll be clean air instead of polluted air? You know, how are you feeling about, you know, how we're moving towards this and whether you'll see it in your own life?
Well, I think you will in yours, but remember, I'm a granny, and so having the whole earth cleansed and clean air probably won't happen in my time, but I definitely know that I will see some exciting changes that are happening because they've already started. I mean, they're happening right now, so we are seeing exciting changes, and it'll just continue. And I'll feel okay about leaving, knowing that everything goes in cycles and that I'll have done my best to teach my grandchildren that there's a lot of hope for a beautiful, shining future. It's quite possible. Maybe we have to go through some interesting times first until humankind really, really learns the lessons about responsibility, the responsibility to the biosphere. We may not have totally reached the critical mass of people who get it. I don't know.
But then again, we might.
We might have, yeah.
Let's just quickly just spend a moment on that point about, you know, what may have been affecting the new energy or blocking it from emerging up until now. You mentioned irresponsibility or taking responsibility. Could you elucidate on that a little bit?
Well, sometimes I just look at the whole scene and I can't understand why, 25 years after I started meeting these underground science inventors, the Energy Underground, why we still don't have it all out in the open and on the market. And it makes me wonder if perhaps there isn't some sort of a higher hand in this, and I don't mean a spooky conspiratorial hand, but something above and beyond that is letting us work out the whole hard lessons that we're learning and that I guess we didn't learn by just being warned that we have to take care of our biosphere, but learning responsibility as a species. I guess we had to learn the hard way because we're actually having our noses rubbed in it right now as a result of our irresponsibility. Speculation. That comes to me.
Well, I trust your speculations, Jean, so thank you very much. And thank you for being here this evening. I know I've kept you a little longer than I said I would, so I do appreciate you spending the time and for sharing all of this wonderful information with us.
It's a pleasure.
If people are interested in getting hold of your books, How could they do that?
Well, check my website along about September, and I hope I'll have. I mean, if they're in Germany, they can get my German edition, Freie Energie, from Omega Verlag, or the French edition is from Louise Coutreau in Quebec. But Coming Energy Revolution itself is off the market and will be reissued under a different name by the fall.
Oh, and so is that going to be separate to the new books that you're writing about the Energy Underground?
No. Well, actually, I have several books in mind that I'd like to bring out, but one at a time.
Well, I look forward to reading it when it does come out very, very much. Jane Manning, thank you again. Many, many blessings to you. And hopefully we'll speak to you again sometime on Otherwhere.
All right.
Okay, take care and good evening to you.
Bye now.
So that was Jane Manning, everybody. What a wonderful guest. I really hope that you enjoyed the show. And it's nearly time for us to leave. I'm going to play you a bit of music and then come back really quickly. Hope you don't mind, Doug and Don. I'd like to finish the show with our Otherwhere Circle of Light relaxation / visualization session. It'll be a quick one tonight as we've run over time. Thank you all so much for listening. And next week I must announce that we have a very, very special guest. Colleen Nicholson will be on the show. She is somebody that I spoke to during the week, and she works with animals. She's an animal communicator. Yes, she can talk to the animals, just like Dr. Doolittle. And in fact, you know, when I thought about this, I realized that the story of Dr. Doolittle must have been based on someone just like Colleen, who could literally hold telepathic communications with the animals nearby. And sure, it's happened before now, don't you think? So Colleen Nicholson, who you can find on the web at holisticanimal.com, and I believe that's with a W, holistic, and see if I can find it on here. No, it's not with a W, it's holisticanimal.com, holisticanimal.com. She's an animal communicator, as I said, and as I mentioned earlier in the show, Earth is doing much, much better. My cat of 14 years, who has been diagnosed with cancer, and one of the reasons why she's doing so well is because I was able to talk to her through Colleen. I asked her about the treatments I was giving her, which ones were working the best, if there was anything else that I could do. And we also got into some very esoteric territory because I wanted very much to know about the cosmology of cats. So I've done a little bit of research into this field, being a cat lover. I had a few theories that I wanted confirmed, and to my amazement, not only did Eartha help confirm the theories, she added some new information that blew my mind. And so next week on the show, we'll be talking to Colleen, and I'll be playing snippets of the interview. Actually, it wasn't an interview. It was just a real phone session that I had with Colleen over the phone. I recorded it. And next week on the show, I'll be able to play you snippets from that interview or session where we hear what Eartha's answers are to some of my questions, and they are really, really fascinating. And so we'll be talking to Colleen about some of the work that she's done over the last 15, 20 years with working with the animals and her holistic veterinary care as well. So if you've ever thought that you'd like to try talking to the animals near you, we'll also get into some of the techniques that you might be able to employ to get in touch with some of your feline or canine friends or any other friends that may be around your home. You can find her on the web, as I said, at holisticanimal.com, and please go and check out the page that lists her book, which is called Crossing the Rainbow Bridge, and it features messages from 17 different species of animals, all of them who have crossed over. So definitely an amazing lady and really just some of the most incredible communications I've ever heard from any species are in that book, and I would highly recommend that you check it out if you can. So we're going to take a break now. We're going to go into our last musical section for the show, and a brand new one from KingStreetSounds.com, our proud Otherwear supporters. They're based in New York City and are the oldest and most respected house label, house music label in the world. They've been going now for 13 years, so they've outlasted and outrun all the others, including Strictly Rhythm from New York, who I think everybody thought could never be beaten. But they folded a couple of years ago, thanks to Warner Brothers help, and now the only independent record label for house music in New York is Strictly. It's the oldest, most loved by Otherwear and many other house fans around the world. So let's have a listen to Blaze. This is a brand new single featuring the vocals of Ultra Nate. Last week I played you the dub mix. This is the full vocal version. It's so sweet and, again, goes perfectly with this show. It's called A Wonderful Place, and we'll be back very soon on Otherwear, bbsradio.com, and I'm Liz Miller. Hey.
Wow, isn't that amazing?
What on earth is that? I can't hear you very well. Oh, I really can't hear you at all, honey. Should I call back?
No.
No, no, stay there, stay there. You're doing perfect. You're doing perfect. You're doing perfect. Okay, stay there.
Oh,
yeah.
Good. I can hear you now.
Don't worry. Everything's perfect. They don't hear it. Nothing's heard that online. It's just so crazy. My brother's upstairs, and I'm handling it. I don't know what the heck I'm doing, so. And it's not what I'm doing. I'm doing nothing wrong. Just movement in this room, given all the wires now and the phones, and something's wrong. We actually need to do something.
That should not be happening.
It's big time wrong, and I don't know why it's doing that. Some new piece, some new part, two new computers. I don't know. We got four or five computers in here now. Everything's going haywire. So I got to figure out something quick.
Yeah. So, hey, I hope you don't mind if I go back on the air for another 10 minutes.
Oh, not at all, not at all. Are you kidding?
Thank
Enjoy
you.
Your show.
Oh, thanks. I'm sorry to have gone over time.
Jean
took so long with her answers.
Yeah, I stayed here just for you.
Oh, thanks, honey.
Yeah, you're intelligent, and you're a great speaker, and I'm really quite surprised. I think you could sell snow to an Eskimo. And I think you can do it with a smile.
Gee, thank you.
Yeah.
Well, how long have we got left on the music?
Oh, not long, not long. To the exact second, I'm not quite sure, because Don's got this timed in a way that he refers to this encoder stream time digit number, and it gives them how soon, and I still haven't figured that out yet. It's all going to change. I got the computers, I got the software. Now I find out my software and my computers and everything, something else is buggy, so I got to get I don't know what I got to get now. Swear to God, I don't know. Don't have a clue. I'm spending too much money even, and yet I need more. I don't get it. I leave it to my brother.
Well, you know, if he can take care of most of it, then that's really cool.
Yeah, well, but, you know, I'm getting to the point now where I'm saying, should I be learning this myself? That's the
point. Probably should.
Yeah. Well, I've learned everything else. This is the last
part. Well, yeah,
we
just make your life easier.
Yeah. I just don't want to get involved with it. It's too many bloody wires. Man. And,
I know,
and they go
crazy,
fuzzy,
man.
Because of nothing but, you know, the fact that you have a wrong loop or wrong feed or you have feedback,
yes,
or something you'll never be able to recognize right off. I mean, we might have to go to $30,000-$40,000 equipment per piece in here and see how that works. But, oh, my God, that means financing and everything else. Oh,
well, how is everything going for you guys in that department? I hope you don't mind me asking, but are you guys okay over there? Like, this must cost you a bit of money to put all
God,
this on.
The power bill's $1,500 alone this month. That's just the electricity problem.
Oh, my God.
No, we can handle
yeah.
it. We can handle that. So don't worry. Now you're going to come back on, and I'm just
going
to swing off now.
Okay. Hello, everybody, and welcome back. It's Otherware, and my name is Liz Miller, and we're just about to conclude the show with our relaxation session, and tonight I'm doing it live, which is really fun for me because even though when the show is pre-recorded, I still tune in at the time of the relaxation, so I'm there with you all. But today it's a little bit different. It's a bit more special because I'm on the line, and I can tell you exactly what I'm picking up as it's happening. So, first of all, please find somewhere comfortable and quiet. If you'd like to participate in the relaxation, we're only going to be here for another 10 minutes or so. And today I really just wanted to focus on continuing the work that we did last week. And before I even begin to start us off on the relaxation, I would just like to mention that it's really, really important when you're working with these types of exercises, clearing exercises and treatments, that you drink a lot of water. So it's a good thing to do at any time, but of course when you're particularly working consciously on the clearing process, then it really just helps your body to release all of the toxins, the negative energy, the trauma, the fear, the karma, all of the stuff that's actually in our cells that we want to help release in, you know, divine ease and flow. We don't want it to be a horrible, uncomfortable release, which it can be sometimes if you just don't drink enough water. So that's my friendly reminder to you all. And before I go ahead with the relaxation, there is something that I'd like to read out. So if you're comfortable and you're quiet, if you wouldn't mind just tuning into these words, I think that you'll be able to feel probably what I felt when I first read them. This was an email that I received earlier today from Fred Burks. Fred, of course, is a former guest of Otherware, and he's been a regular on the show. We absolutely love having him here because he is the creator of the Web of Love website. He's also the creator of the Web of Love breathing technique that we use quite often here on the show. And if it hadn't have been for Fred's beautiful technique, which I found the very week that I started broadcasting on BBS Radio, in fact, it could have even been the night before, and I looked at it and went, oh, we've got to use this. We've got to use this every week. It's just so great. If it hadn't have been for that, I honestly don't think that this show would have attracted people like yourself who are listening right now. It certainly wouldn't have attracted the kinds of guests that I've been very blessed to have join me on the show. And I certainly wouldn't be generating the type of enthusiasm that I think I can feel coming from you listeners out there if it hadn't have been for all of us consciously working with creating the Web of Love every week, just as we're about to do right now. Because what we're doing is opening ourselves up more fully to the abundant love that lies not only within and within us, it's all around us. It's in our hearts, it's around our hearts, it's around our bodies. And as I said earlier in the interview with Jean, I truly believe that it is what has formed our universe. And that's why we're here. I really believe that we're here to inspire ourselves and each other to open even more fully to the heart connection that we all share through love. And I'm echoing Fred's words there too when I say that. Now, Fred was writing to me because he and I have planned to speak together on the show at the end of June. So you can look forward to seeing him around June 26, hopefully. And we'll be going through another Web of Love mega fest when he returns again. And he's also going to be able to tell us about his trip to Indonesia, which he's just about to leave for next week. He is a language interpreter and has formerly interpreted for the President George Bush, Senior and Junior, and Clinton. So he's going over there again to do some more interpreting work, and when he comes back, he'll be able to tell us about his journey, which I'm sure, as always, whenever he goes to Indonesia, he comes back with something amazing to tell. So we'll be hearing all about that. And he mentioned in this email that he wanted to tell me that for many years, he says, I've yearned to connect with people who are ready and excited about using our energy both individually and collectively to send out waves of love and deep connection to all who are ready to receive it. I've met a few individuals who I thought might be interested in this. I'm sharing this with you because I think that you're one of the very few I've met who shares this deep passion, and he's right. I love your deep commitment to let the love flow and unite us all. We definitely share a special kinship in this. I think many people are actually afraid of just how powerful they are, which is why this work might feel too much for them. Yet you and I know that we are all infinitely powerful if we choose to open and let the energy flow and heal and empower us all. Thank you so much for the very special connection we share in this. I feel that you and I are part of a group of cosmic lovers who are inviting all beings to join us in the ecstasy of the sacred love connection. Thank you for your loving presence in this world and in my life. May we find ever more ways to love and empower each other and all around us. And, you know, I think it was upon reading that last line I burst into tears because I was so touched by those very, very special and moving words. And it's always wonderful, isn't it, when you find somebody else out there in the world, and Fred and I have never met, not physically at least, that you resonate with on such a deep level, that when you find someone that you share something that you're really passionate about, and in this case, for us, it's about sharing and helping others open up to love. So I thought I'd preface our relaxation today with that. And I know I've gone over time again, but for the next 10 minutes, I do hope that you will join us in opening your heart more fully to the connection that we share as radio host and listener and as a group of adepts all wanting to become more enlightened in our own journeys together and as one whole humanity. So please take an easy position, either lying on the floor or sitting in a straight back chair, and make sure that your spine is straight, that your feet are slightly apart, your arms are comfortable. Turn your hands upwards so that palms are facing the ceiling. Let the fingers curl a little bit. And then allow your jaw to relax so that you feel your lips, your mouth becoming fuller and softer, and your jaw, your cheeks, eyes and forehead all smoothing out, releasing any tension that they might be holding, giving in. Now, if you're somewhere warm, that's wonderful. Make sure that you stay warm. If you're somewhere that's a little cool, you may want to make sure that you're covered up so that you have a cocoon of warmth that forms around your body as we move into the relaxation. And check that the phone is unplugged, that no one's going to be coming to the door. And when you're settled, the last thing you might want to do is pop a small pillow underneath the back of your knees, especially if you have any lower back pain. might also like to place a small pillow under your head, but that's really not necessary. Just draw your chin towards your chest to open up the back of the neck, lengthen it out, and then you'll be able to feel how your whole spine is lined straight, how you've placed your body into the exactly right position to bring complete release to all of the muscles. Now feel your body and your back melting into the support beneath. And all of the tension that may be in your body evaporates as you allow your body to grow heavier. Feel yourself becoming more at ease. Feel your body warm, comfortable. Allow a small smile on the edges of your lips so that they're turned upwards instead of downwards. Let that smile begin to extend all the way down through your body so that every single cell feels as though it's beginning to smile as well. If you remind yourself that you're safe, comfortable, you've given yourself time just for you, so you're leaving the outside world outside for these next 10 minutes. Know that you can come back to those thoughts later if you need to. Right now, tell yourself it is a great day. Feel yourself smiling, every part of your being. And now listen to your heart. Feel your heart chakra opening to the connections that each of us shares. Remember that we're all part of a very special circle, very special family, the Otherware Circle of Life. Breathe, allow the love in your heart to flow outwards into our circle. See the lines of light and love that are emanating from your heart, touching, intersecting the hearts and the deepest essence of all those in our circle. As you breathe in our sacred love. As I breathe out, I breathe my sacred love out to you. I breathe in. I'm breathing your sacred love into me. As we allow ourselves to focus, connect even more deeply. See the circle that our hearts are creating, spans our entire planet. See each one of us in any way that you can as individual heart flames connected to yours, unending circle of life. As you strengthen the light in our circles, see that our circle is also connecting to the hearts of all other beings, all men, women and children on this beautiful planet. Whether they are connected to us consciously now or not, trust that they are at their higher self, at their deepest essence, and see those lines crossing our planet, creating a web of love. Each time we strengthen it by focusing on it, it grows in size and strength, and it becomes easier for everybody else, no matter who they are or where they are, to access that energy, that frequency. lives to their hearts, so that we are all together generating waves of love. Now see that love imbued with gratitude. We allow that smile within our hearts and our bodies to move out into our circle of life, into the web of love. See that each one of us in our circle, in the greater web, have a smile right there in our heart center. A smile of gratitude for having each other, for being able to share our love in this way. Now allow the image of the web of love to fade. Allow the feeling to remain. As you breathe in and out, allow your breathing to be like waves of love, spanning our planet, sending ripples to the quantum field, touching everything, transforming everything. As you feel these waves moving around the planet, imagine they are gently rocking your body. Rocking continues in your mind. As you rock, one after the other, be aware that any negative emotions you've been holding are dropping away from you now. They're dropping away from everybody in our circle. As we lift ourselves up, we lift us, we lift everybody up with love, releasing feelings of frustration, feelings of sorrow or sadness, of heartache or depression, feelings of anger, of hopelessness, of resentment, any residue of negativity that you feel is in your body that you can identify, feel it now, just dropping away. Feel the wave rocking your body. Do you allow them to wash over you, to cleanse you, to restore balance? Deep feel. Now feel the changes that you've made. Notice feelings of serenity beginning to descend over your entire body, just like a blanket of peace and calm. Feel content, clearer, feeling so wonderful. You do know that as you are lifted up, you're lifting up everybody else with you. And out of the depths of your heart, feel a great joy beginning to rise. As you begin to feel light and more expanse, the light, love of all of our group, all beings here on earth, to us. Feel it flow in a continuous, steady stream of light through your whole body, through your whole being. Give in and let go. Now we'll have a minute silence. Trust whatever it is that you're feeling, knowing that as we work together, we hold the intention. The work we do, the upliftment, the highest good of all. I'm giving it the pity. Allow your consciousness to return to the present moment. Allow your awareness to come back into your body. As you bring it back any feeling, any insight, any revelation. Knowing that they will last much, much longer than the relaxation itself. Allow your consciousness to return to your hands and your feet. Allow your hands to open and close. Wriggle your toes. Point them to the ground. And then when you're ready, you can open your eyes and blink and come back to the present moment. And whenever you're ready, have a stretch, bring your awareness back into all of your body and come back. So thank you all so much for tuning in this evening. Thank you for being part of our very, very special Otherwhere Circle of Light family we're creating week by week. I know that new people are listening every week, and I so appreciate the fact that you're here with us, spending your time towards the enlightenment of all. I think that's what we're doing here. Thanks also to BBS Radio, to Don and Doug for all of their help, live shows, to Jean Manning for being our special guest this evening. If you'd like to find out anything more about the show, then please do go to the BBS Radio website. That's bbsradio.com. And if you go to the right-hand side of the page, click on the link that says Otherwhere. You'll find my bio page comes up, and you'll be able to go to our archives of the archived shows that are available up until the beginning of March that are there now. You can also check out my blog, which is at otherwhere.blogspot.com. And if you'd like to email me, please do so. I really love getting your feedback. And especially if you've got constructive criticism, you know, I'm very open to hearing that too. I do want this show to just get better and better. And if you help me out, that would be great. The address is otherwarehost@yahoo.com. And one last announcement before we go. It's about the Wildcat Wheel. This is happening next weekend, June 10th and 11th, and I would really love it if we could all, in whatever way that we can, participate in what's happening over at Wildcat Mountain in southwest Wisconsin in the States. This is an invitation for all life to join in this opportunity for universal celebration and prayer for the gratitude of life, or to life that we have, and the healing for all of our relations. The world's organization, as we know it, is crumbling, and we're having to recreate our world as we go along. There's no manual for it. We're all having to do this through trust and through our intelligence and our love. So if you can help add to that, please, because
you have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.